Welcome to Sunday Sermons and other recordings from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis, California. Please visit our website at www.uudavis.org for further information.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Davis. My name is Alex Pater Winnett, and I am your summer minister.
And good morning. I'm Autumn Labbe-Renault, and I'm your worship associate today.
Welcome to this sacred space where we know that we need not think alike to love alike, where we know that the questions we share are key to growing. This is a community where we know it takes everyone to make everyone free. Regardless of whom you love and where you came from, you are welcomed here. Whether you are pagan, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, Muslim, atheist, none of the above, or something else entirely, you are welcome here. Where we know that the things that make you special are both visible and invisible, and all are welcome here. Here, where we strive to cultivate the spirit and serve one another in our search for justice, we welcome you.
And if this is your first time here, we hope you will stop by our welcome table in the social hall. Talk to us so we can get to know you. And here you'll find a community of caring and sharing. Lots of information in your printed bulletin. As always, we'll highlight a few things here today from the pulpit, tell you about the programs of the church. There are many ways to get involved, and we hope you will join us in this community together.
This morning, you are invited to light a chalice in the back of the sanctuary and write in our milestone book. If you wish, we will add your joy or sorrow to this morning's pastoral prayer or to the caring corner in our bulletin.
And to acknowledge all that is being held by the people in this room, we light one pillar candle for the sorrows of the world, for the moments that weigh heavy on our hearts. And we light a second pillar candle for the joys of the world, for the moments of hope and celebration. Come, let us worship together. Today's chalice lighting reading is called The Beauty Woven Fine from Soul Matters. As we celebrate life's beauty, may we never forget we are part of it. It is woven not only around us, but through us. We are here to notice those elegant strands, the way they call to us, the way they hold us and connect us. May today enable that beauty to shine. Again, welcome. Lighting our chalice today is Eleanor. Oh, our chalice is lit. I think I saw Ellie here, though. Are you here? Okay. Sorry about that. Let me read the words I had for Ellie, just so you can wave your hand over there. Eleanor, or Ellie Norris, has been a member of UUCD for the past 5 years. She served as a worship associate. I got to serve with her. She's taken part in various education classes, including the Deep Listening Small Group Ministry, and helped with the Interfaith Winter Shelter. She loves the sense of community and is proud of all our social justice work.
So this thing's not working, so we'll use the hand mic. So it's June. June is a very special month for a lot of folks. It is what we call Pride Month, and I'm going to talk a little bit about it in the sermon. June is Pride Month because it recognizes the riots after Stonewall, which was a gay bar in New York. They were busted up by the police for one last time, and on the anniversary or near the anniversary of the Stonewall uprisings, there are parades and marches and actions celebrating love in all of its forms. And in the 50 years since Stonewall, we've seen so many advancements. We've seen people come out of the closet, people showing their love in many different ways. We now have marriage equality in all of our country, and we see it growing around the world. We see more and more protection for gay folks, lesbian folks, bisexual, transgender folks. We have more and more understanding of the way the human heart works in all of its wonderful and mysterious ways. So we're going to do a little bit of a blessing for Pride Month, for recognizing that we all are loving people, and we all have interesting stories to tell about our families and our friends and the people we've loved over the years in different ways. So I've got some sparkles. I've got some body glitter.
I do want you to know it's called unicorn snot.
Unicorn snot, because only the best for worship. It is hypoallergenic. It has a faint smell, sort of like hair gel, but it goes away very quickly. The glitter may not, though. But that's okay. So we're going to bless the glitter, and then I'm going to ask folks of all ages and all understandings of love to come down and be blessed by Autumn and myself with some glitter. But if you don't feel like you want to come down and you'd like someone to come, Don and Sharon, our ushers, might grab a dab to anoint your forehead or your hands or just give you a blessing. So here we have our glitter. June is set aside as Pride Month. It is a time for us to remember that the best thing we can be is ourselves. It is a time to remember to love and care for one another. It is a time to respect the beauty, the beautiful diversity of humanity. This is a time when we affirm that there is no one way to do family, and a time to affirm that there are infinite genders and expressions. It is a time to work for justice and to bring more beauty into the world. June is to dream of a more wondrous world, to bring more magic into reality. June is for gratitude for each other, to be bold in our loving for our friends, our family, our neighbors, our partners. We bless this glitter, a sign of the mystery of the stars and the fabulousness of our souls. May we remember to shine and sparkle each and every day, to remind us that we are beloved parts of creation. So if you'd like, please come down and receive your glitter to remember that you are beloved parts of creation.
It was after a high school football game that I cradled my friend Tony's head in my lap and tended to his black eye and the cuts on his cheek. Tony and another friend, John, were the first male cheerleaders at our school. That night had been a home game, and as Tony walked toward his car, he was jumped by a kid a year younger than us, decided to take his fist to Tony's face. I found Tony a little later when I headed home. He was slumped against the front tire of his car, and through his sobbing, I heard one word over and over, fag. Tony had been beaten because he was gay. Bear in mind, I was 17 at the time. I was livid. I was scared. I was righteously indignant. I wanted to do something. I wanted to call the police. I wanted to take him to the ER. He wanted to let it go, telling me it's not the first time and it won't be the last. I led a pretty sheltered life then. I didn't actually know many gay people, just a few friends. People getting beaten up in parking lots was completely outside my realm of experience. The horror of the AIDS crisis and anyone touched by it, unknown to me. All I knew was that my sweet, smart, funny friend was beaten because he was different, and because the ways in which he was different threatened someone else's identity. Our group of friends worried after John and Tony the rest of that year. We never let them walk to their cars alone. We circled the wagon, so to speak. If Tony was unable or unwilling to seek justice, then we'd make sure he didn't need to. My 17-year-old self felt proactive and pretty righteous. And then I moved here to attend UC Davis, and like many a student before me, I became radicalized. Chiefly, I know it's a shocker, chiefly that meant analyzing everything I knew through the lens of feminism. It would be another few years until I learned about Stonewall, or knew folks who were active in ACT UP, or before I attended a Pride festival. A few more till close friends and cousins came out. Decades longer until I'd get to attend weddings. I think about Tony every June, and I'm really happy to tell you that he's living out his It Gets Better story. We reconnected on Facebook a few years ago. He's married to a wonderful man, raising a daughter, has a thriving career. Tony was the first person who stirred in me awareness that we're not all the same, and it's okay. We could want different things, love differently, coexist, love one another. In my youthful zeal, I thought that getting angry and taking care of my friends was what showing up for justice looked like. My anger fueled my activism for years. It took years longer to understand that anger burns out and burns us out in the process. And it actually takes a more systemic overhaul of everything we participate in, our lives, our work, our systems, our churches. I eventually found that writing about and making video about the things I care about is how I create change in the world. My time among all of you in this church continues to teach me what it means to be welcoming, to be inclusive, to side with love. Thank you to all of you who have discussed such things with me. Thank you for all of you who have opened your arms, your lives, your identities, and your love to my family and allowed me to be your ally. In this time when everything we hold dear is in peril, we can't stop, and we won't.
Friends, I have a story for you. On a relatively quiet street in the Greenwich Village, there is a nondescript brick building. In the early hours of June 28, 1969, it was the site of a world-changing event. The bar it housed had only been open for 2 years at that point, but it was already the largest gay bar in the United States at the time. On any given night, gay men, lesbians, trans folks, drag queens, and kings, and all sorts of people would come to be together. A community integrated in nearly every way. During a time when being gay was a crime, it was a place of sanctuary. In the 1950s and 60s, it was common for gay bars to be raided by the police. The police would harass, arrest, and publicly out BGLTQ folks on the regular, and it was well known that they would take bribes from bar owners to leave their customers alone. On this particular night, the police came in on the pretense of illegal alcohol service. While the patrons were lined up and detained, tensions rose. People began to sing the freedom song, "We Shall Overcome," as a sign of resistance. Folks started shouting and cursing at the police, and the police began harassing trans customers. One person asked why the bar had been raided, and someone yelled out, "The owners didn't pay them off." And people began pelting the officers with pocket change and telling them to leave. Rumors began to spread that the patrons remaining in the bar were being beat. A scuffle broke out. Four officers tackled a woman who had tried to escape,
and this led her to being beat on the head with a baton. At this moment, the scene broke loose. Bottles, rocks, bricks all began to fly through the air. Some 500 patrons and bystanders began to riot, slashing police car tires and attempting to overturn wagons. Garbage cans were thrown through windows and fires were set. Led by trans folks, homeless street kids, people of color, and drag queens, the crowd successfully pushed back the tactical police force to retreat. A few hours later, more police arrived on the scene, and most of the crowd was cleared out by 4 a.m. At this point, the Stonewall Inn was gutted by a fire, and folks gathered in the Christopher Street Park to strategize. Graffiti proclaiming drag power and legalize gay bars and support gay power were scrawled on the walls of the neighborhood. The next night, the riots began again. While it was not the first of its kind, just 3 years earlier in San Francisco, the Compton cafeteria riots had happened. The Stonewall Uprising began a flashpoint in the beginning of the gay rights movements. Organizations like the Gay Liberation Front, Gay Pride, and Gay Activist Alliance were born out of that act of resistance. On the first anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising, people in New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Chicago held the first Pride parades. What once was a single annual event is now celebrated year-round. All across the world, there is a Pride event now celebrated every week. From humble carnivals of defiance to giant citywide celebrations, Pride is a force to be reckoned with. I tell this story today for several reasons. One, to recognize the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising. Another, as a reminder that progress rarely comes without a fight. And another is that the Pride movement began by an act of defiance by trans people, gender nonconforming people, and people of color. It was an act against white supremacy and patriarchy. And yet another is a reminder that the Pride parade is the celebration of a riot. And finally, I tell this story in remembrance of a dear friend and mentor, Ed Burdett. Ed was a youth advisor of mine when I was in high school. Ed was a soft-spoken man, warm in spirit with a gentle heart. He had a twinkle in his eye whenever he smiled. He was a poet, and he loved supporting youth. Every year at the Camp Talent Show, Ed would tell us the story of Stonewall. He wanted us to know an important part of our history that was often not included in our history textbooks. Ed wanted us to know that we were worthy of love, that love is worth fighting for, and that we were wonderfully complete just the way we were. And so I thank the previous generation of queer leaders and activists who guided us. People like Ed and Craig and Ned and Louisa and Sue and others who mentored me and cared for me, who through their subtle guidance told me, "I need you to survive." And now I am grown. I have made it through high school and college, struggled to find who I am, and I have created a family of people who love me. And now I get to do the same for a new generation of youth. By being a camp counselor at UU Camps, being a teacher in our human sexuality class called Our Whole Lives, by supporting our teens within our church, I get to pass on the lessons that I was handed to when I was handed when I was their age. These young people, These young people inspire me with their strength, their kindness, bravery, and thoughtfulness. Kids coming into their own, exploring gender, identity, and attraction. I get to be there as they learn how to wield their voices and their strength to rise up for justice, to bring more love into the world, and to support one another. I get to tell them, I love you. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Because, friends, let's face it, it is scary out there. Despite the relatively few gains VGLTQ communities have earned in the past decade, the blowback is fierce. We have seen the Supreme Court uphold marriage equality. States have begun outlawing conversion therapy. Gender identity is more and more protected, and yet we see more and more resistance. Bathroom bills allow for legal harassment and gender policing in the name of protecting the vulnerable, but we know that's a lie. We know that trans folks and gender nonconforming people, particularly people of color and youth, are the ones most vulnerable and affected by these laws. These laws are systematically reinforcing bullying. And it does not end there. Hate crimes are up, and more of our beloved youth are dying from violence and sometimes losing the battle to suicide. An estimated 50,000 homeless youth are queer and left home due to violence. And yet, queer and trans-friendly youth shelters are few and poorly funded. The attack a few years ago on the Pulse nightclub in Orlando shows the deadly serious nature of what these insidious statements of hate can lead to. It is easy for us to be complacent. We can think, hey, we're UUs in Davis. We can think we've got this all figured out, and yet I wonder what more we can do. How else can we work for the mutual liberation of all? How do we implicitly and explicitly tell one another, I love you, I need you to survive? In a time where every week a queer teenager or young adult dies from suicide or a hate crime, how do we take on a position of solidarity? How do we rise up and say, I will protect you, I will keep you safe from harm? Honestly, I don't know yet. But I have a hunch. I think it takes building relationships. Honest to goodness relationships, reaching out to someone different from yourself within and beyond these walls and telling them, I love you. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Letting them know that love is worth fighting for, that love and life is worth living. Learning to be an open mind and an open heart, picking people up when they have fallen and asking for help. When you too have fallen. It might mean working for gun control so the shootings at gay clubs and schools never happen again. It might be working to end racism against Latinx people and Muslims, and actively resisting those who build a career off of xenophobia. It might be working to end police violence in our cities. It might be working to create a sustainable environment. It might be acting as a mentor for one of our youths. It might be writing your pronouns onto your name tag to help end transphobia. It might be simply telling someone at coffee hour, I am so glad you are here today, and saying it with so much love and authenticity that your heart breaks a little bit and you are both more free. It might be marching, rolling, riding in a parade. It might be kissing more. It might be asking, who are your people and how do they love you? It might be all these things and more. But it can't end there. We need to rise up with love in our hearts because only love will change the world. We need to heed the advice given by Mother Jones to pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living. The marches, the vigils, the dance parties, the long embraces, the tears and sweat we have seen since Stonewall have shown us that another future is possible. But friends, it is not inevitable. It's not it gets better, it's we get better. We must team up with others to build that future. And for those of us with power and privilege, we must show up to help, but we must not rebuild this current system. Instead, it must take the leadership of those who are at the margins so we can continue to build the world we dream about. In my heart, there is a hope. I work to nurture this hope every day, and it is a hope that helps me keep working when I am tired and lacking in faith and confidence, and it sounds like this. I hope that in 15, 20, 25, 50 years or more, someone will rise up into a pulpit just like this and say, Unitarian Universalism saved my life. I would not be here today if not for someone saying to me, I love you, I love you, I love you, I need you to survive. Friends, may we be the builders of this world, and may we witness it together. Amen. Ashe, and blessed be. Now let us join together for a moment of stillness, reflection, meditation, and prayer. Spirit of love, life, and justice, you who go by many names, we recognize your presence with us. We give thanks for this day to be together, to share this moment with those of us in our chosen faith, to know that the world is better because we are in it. We give thanks for this solstice, this time of pause, as the days begin to shorten and the nights lengthen, we give thanks for the abundance that we share. We recognize the elders, the leaders of the queer movements who have dragged us into more justice. In particular, I think of Marsha P. Johnson and Miss Major, the black trans women who led the vigils and led the fight, but got left behind. I think of our youth, our children, those who are coming up and watching us and learning how to be in the world and both showing us how the world can be. I think of the families and the children in concentration camps on the border. May they get justice soon. May safety come swiftly. And we lift up those who are working for it, the observers, the lawyers, the activists, those who are planning marches, saying never again, not this time. Let us lift up our own prayers, those people, places, and events that we've brought in our hearts and mind. Let us share them together. For all these prayers, spoken and unspoken, that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we give thanks and praise. Amen. Now let us sing our responsive reading, our responsive song, When Your Heart is in a Holy Place. And Alexander, if we could just get that last slide.
All right, Ellie Norris, I'd like to invite you to come extinguish the chalice. We're flexible, you know. The pillar candles first. Okay. We extinguish the pillar candle representing our sorrows. I think when we come together, we lighten them just a little. And though we extinguish the pillar candle for love, that doesn't go away. Carry it here all week long. And the same is true with that symbol, that flaming chalice. It represents everything we are together and all that we carry out into the world. Hold it close. We'll light it again next Sunday.
Friends, reach out, grab a hand, touch a shoulder, make some eye contact, some human contact. That's what we're all about here. Friends, you are a beloved piece of creation, one of the divine's chosen. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Let us take the love we have felt here today and take it out into the world, a love that will change the world. Friends, our worship has ended, but our service has just begun. Let the people say amen.
Amen.